I'm sorry, remain standing. We're going to read together from God's Word, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Let's read it together in unison. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. All right, now you may be seated. We've been talking the last couple of Sundays about storms, about hurricanes, about messy conditions, about people being uprooted and kind of being carried away in many different ways. Hurricane Irma is now history. For some in Florida, life became very difficult, and we've heard the stories of what's happened this past week and some of the things that have happened as a result of Hurricane Irma. Now we got Hurricane Jose coming up, and it's headed for us. And you know, I don't think it's going to amount to much, but nonetheless, it's a storm. And we are in our second week in a series I'm calling Storm Ready. And we're talking about how to build a life that has a solid foundation. How to create stability in our lives. You think we need stability? You think we need, in this world of ours, to kind of make sense of what's happening and to be able to bring things to term? Well, last week we talked about the necessity of wisdom. It's hard to build a foundation, no matter what kind of a foundation, without wisdom. And it seems like common sense is something that's really missing in our day and age. Among many fronts, a lot of our young people don't have a whole lot of common sense. A lot of our adults that don't have common sense, and some of us don't have much common sense. I don't have it at times. But wisdom is that necessary ingredient. It's an everyday thing, and it means that you do first and you do best that which matters most every day of your life, that which is important. That's wisdom. And today we want to talk about what I'm calling storm warning. Last week we talked about being storm ready and how to get ready for a storm and any storm that comes your way. Today we're going to be warned about what the implications are if we do not stand upon that solid rock. We want to be warned by God Himself, who loves us, who has His best interests at heart when He speaks to us and when he shares His word with us. You see, it's the kind of lesson in the meteorology of life. I kind of like the Weather Channel. I'm kind of a weather freak. I remember my grandfather being able to predict the storm just by looking out into the sky and knowing what was coming. In the wintertime, he would be able to tell you how many inches of snow we were going to get. In the summertime, he'd be able to tell you how much rain we were going to get. And many, many times he was right on the mark. But I like watching these meteorologists on the Weather Channel and on other channels who are trying to give their very best scientific conclusion when it comes to the weather. Some of them are way off and others are not. Lately, most of them have been right on. But you see, when they give a warning about a storm, they're saying that there could be danger coming your way. There could be upheaval coming your way. There could be something that would uproot you and throw you off course in your life, maybe for a little while, like Hurricane Irma. and Hurricane Harvey and some of the other storms that we saw recently down in the south. But when we talk about a storm warning, it's a kind of a lesson in the meteorology of life, and these are things that we need to know about the storms that we face. Because every single one of us, we face these storms, whether we're ready for them or not. They're coming our way, they're coming your way, very soon perhaps even. And so there are three things I want us to look at today. And if you're writing notes, it's always good to write them down. But first of all, let me tell you this. The first thing I want to share is that the storms of life are inevitable for everyone. They are inevitable for everyone. Everyone, all of us. If you have a pulse, if you're on the list to face a storm at some time in your life, and I would venture to say that you've already faced maybe a few storms along the way, guess what? There's more to come. It's as promised, just like the sun is going to set tonight and is going to rise tomorrow. You can be very sure of the fact that you're going to face a storm. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. It doesn't have any respecter of persons as far as that's concerned. It makes no difference who you are, whether you're good, whether you're bad, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're handsome, whether you're ugly, whether you are talented or not, whether you are intelligent or not, even wise or not, you'll go through a storm. And there may be one even today that you'll face. When Jesus spoke this parable, he was looking out to his disciples. And he knew that his disciples, these guys that he handpicked, these fishermen, these everyday guys, Peter and John and Andrew and James and Matthew and all the others, just ordinary guys, he knew that at some point every single one of them would face difficulties. And of course they did. Peter had some problems, some internal insecurity problems. John had some emotional problems. And other disciples had issues galore. And so he spoke to these disciples, and he was talking to them about the storms of life, just like he would be standing here today talking to you and I about the storms of life. And, you know, when we think about a storm, when we think about a storm, when we see it get overcast and when we see it get dark and we feel something is on its way, what do we think about? Well, you know, I think of people who have health problems that come their way, people who have financial problems that come their way, people who have relationship problems, people who have job problems, betrayals. Well, Jesus was betrayed, right? And a real picture of that going on in the scriptures. Disappointments. How many times was Jesus disappointed in his disciples? And how some of them promised that they would follow him, and then at the very last minute, they would go the other direction and not fulfill their promise. These are the types of storms that everybody must endure at some time in life. It took me a long time to figure out that the storm itself is not punishment. Nor is it an indication that God has abandoned me. It's not an indication of that at all. The problem is, however, that sometimes that's exactly what others want you to think, that God has abandoned you. I was speaking with a going through a rough time a few years ago, and someone at work all of a sudden decided they were going to rub it in a little bit. And they said, well, you know, so much for your belief in God today. So much for Him carrying you through. So much for Him, you know, being able to do what you say He does. Well, I didn't have an answer for that. And I said, this is one storm of life that I'm going to have to face some other ones too. And so, you know, this is what it's about. Sometimes we think God has abandoned us. Sometimes we think that God has given up on us. We shouldn't think that way. Every time we as a nation go through a big storm, when we're thinking about the political picture in our country, in which there's lots of big storms, whether they're literal storms or figurative storms, there's always that guy that comes along and says that this is God's judgment for this or that. This is God's judgment. I even heard during Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey that this was God's judgment for the country picking the president that it picked back last November. I heard about those things, and it kind of turned my stomach a little bit. You see, that's not necessarily the case. I would not jump to that kind of conclusion too quickly, because the fact is that sometimes, oftentimes even, storms are just part of life. They've always been here, and they'll always be here. You can remember great storms in the past, but there will be great storms in the future as well. In the same way, whenever we go through a personal storm, whether it's through illness or whatever it might be, there will always be those voices that are eager to say to you, and sometimes it's your own voice you hear saying it as well, that this storm is proof that God has turned His back on me. Don't believe that, because that's what the devil wants you to believe. That if He really loved you, that voice says, if you were really right with Him, if you were really walking in His will, the voice says that if God were really on your side, then this wouldn't be happening. This would not be taking place. The voice says that this storm is all the evidence you need. This is all you need to know that God is not only finished with you, but just maybe God is out to get you. Like that grandfather in the sky carrying a big stick, wanting to put you in a place. Don't believe that at all. Of course, we know intellectually that God is not out to get us, because He loves us. Or at least we say we know that. But when the storm is raging around us, many people feel this way, regardless how they may feel about it. You see, going through a storm doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. There are so many people that believe that. Going through the storm is just part of the process of going through life. Because this is life. This is the way the apple falls from the tree. This is life. This is natural for each and every one of us. The Apostle Peter said this, and write this down in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. How easy it is for us as Christians that when something happens, we think it's something strange. It's something weird. God says, don't be surprised, because this is life. This does happen, because it's not strange at all. It's part of life. The rain falls on the just, and the rain falls on the unjust, regardless. To spell it out, this means that at some time or another, we're all going to get wet. We're all going to be left stranded without our umbrella. We're all going to get wet. And at some time or another, we're all going to get rained on. It means there will be times when you'll have to cancel your plans. You may have to cancel the picnic, or going to the car races, or going golfing, or doing other things. More dramatically, it means that all of us, at some time or another, will find ourselves in the midst of mayhem, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of calamity. We'll find ourselves at one point or another in the center of a situation that may seem to be spinning out of control. And we don't know why it's happening. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. We're all destined to endure the occasional storm that's strong enough to bring an average house to the ground. This doesn't mean that God has turned away from you. It doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. It just means simply that you walk the same trail and you sail the same waters as everyone else. And it's going to come your way and it's going to go someone else's way. I realize I'm belaboring this a little bit, maybe pushing it a little bit. That's because over the years I've encountered so many people who simply cannot get past the storm because of what they think that this storm really means. Somewhere along the line, there's so many people that have picked up the idea, maybe from a church, I don't know, or maybe a preacher they've heard, or maybe from some book they've read or a TV program they've watched, but it's certainly not from the Bible. It's not from God's Word. But they picked up the idea that the Christian life is supposed to be like a never-ending week at church camp where they all sing Kumbaya every day and where everything seems rosy and where everything seems so peaceful, so wonderful, that life is like a bed of roses. It's not a bed of roses. Have you figured that out yet? I think most of you have. I have. It's not all kumbaya. Sounds a little bit depressing, I suppose. Maybe I'm working a little bit of therapy on us all this morning. And it shouldn't, because certainly life isn't always a storm. Because all we need to see is how God blesses. All we need to see is how God promises to fulfill his word to bring us encouragement. God promises an abundant life, and his word is full of promises. His word is full of blessings, and he promises victory. He promises the fact that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He promises joy. That joy would make us full, that we would be full of joy. He promises peace. He promises encouragement along the way. And we experience far more of our share blessings than the storm. You see, perspective is important. Perspective is very important. And it's always good to put things in perspective. Now, most people knew that when Hurricane Irma was coming sailing through the Caribbean and headed towards Florida, that it was going to do a lot of damage on the way. And so it came, and then it went. The sun was out the next day in South Florida, in the Keys, in Miami. People were picking up after the storm. And people were moving on with their lives. I think there's a sense in which we need to look at it that way as well. You see, when God says that we're more than conquerors, that means something. It means there will be obstacles to conquer, and there will be roadblocks along the way. There'll be face downs with the enemy, for sure. That'll be, for sure. When the Irmas and the Harveys and the Jose's come, when the winds come, and when the rains come, and when the snowstorms come, and we're tempted to think that God is nowhere to be found, just listen, that we need to remember that this is not punishment. The storms of life are just part of life. Here's the second thing I want to share with you. That the storms of life, yes, they are inevitable. The storms of life are inevitable, but they're not invincible. They're not invincible. Now, what do you mean by that? They're not, what I mean is they're not all powerful. That they may be strong, but they're not that strong. They may be powerful, but they're not that powerful. A storm may come and knock you down, just like that guy standing on the sand pile. The man who built his house upon the sand. But it doesn't have to knock you out. It doesn't have to do that at all. You can survive any storm that comes your way. No matter how the wind blows, from what direction the wind comes, no matter what, you can survive that storm. And as a matter of fact, you can come through any storm you face stronger than perhaps even before. Now, if you've built your life on the rock, if you stand firmly on the rock, you can face storms differently than most people do. I really don't know how people who don't have Christ in their lives can really face the storms of life, because their lives are built on the sand. Their foundation is a foundation that does not have much of a foundation, that does not have much to support them and to uphold them when the winds blow and when the rains come down. You see, if you have your life built on the rock, it really is a blessing to know that all the destructive powers on earth may come your way, but you have something. You have a blessing. You have something that lives in you that nothing can replace in this world, that nobody can take away from you, because you have Jesus Christ and you have His Word and the promises of His Word. That to me is a great encouragement from this passage of Scripture. Now, we sing that song in Sunday school, and Teresa did a great job with the kids this morning, but that's the practical aspect of it all. That's the practicality of it. What do I mean when I say if you built your life on the rock? I'm referring to what Jesus said in this text. This is what He said. Look at it very carefully. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If you've lived your life putting into practice the teachings of Christ, in which many of you have, and the teachings of Scripture, then when the storms of life come, yeah, they're going to shake you. They'll maybe get you off course. And yeah, you'll wobble a little bit. But guess what? Guess what? It may sting you a little bit. It may falter you a little bit. But guess what? It's not going to wipe you out. If you've spent your life putting into practice the scriptural teachings about relationships, about money, about family, about work ethic, or about the way you take care of yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally, then when the storms come, they may bring discomfort. They may bring inconvenience, but they will not bring destruction because your life is founded upon a biblical foundation with biblical teaching, rooted in the very heart of God Himself. Some of you will say, well, you see, there's the problem because I didn't build my life on the teachings of Christ. This is something I came to experience later on when I became a believer as an adult. Some of you may say, well, you know, I really didn't have any of the teachings as a child. Well, you got them now. And you have an opportunity to have them now and to know the teachings of Christ now. Some of you may say, well, it's a little too late for me. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can. Because God's in the picture. If He's in your heart, and He wants to rule in your heart, it's not too late. If your life has been built on sand, if you've made many poor decisions and mistakes along the way, and if you've messed up over the years, and if you've taken seriously the teachings of Jesus, then the unpleasant truth is that, yes, the storms of life will come, and yes, they will cause damage. They may cause even serious damage. But if you've been reckless with your finances or your health or your relationships or your spiritual life or any other area, then that recklessness makes you susceptible to the storm. And in the process, you may very well suffer some loss. But here's what I want you to know, and I'm speaking specifically to those of you who may have built your life on the sand. If you've built your life on the sand, you've built your life upon a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God. If you've built your life on the sand, you've grown your life to be that which is the philosophy of this age, which is every man, every person for himself, that the most important thing, that the most important person is me, is I, and that you are at the very center of your world, and that everything revolves around you. Here's what I want you to know, that regardless of what you have lost and regardless of the damage that has been done in your life in the past, there exists through Jesus Christ the promise of restoration. That's the good news. It's not too late to build your life on the rock. And that brings me to the final point that I want you to see here this morning. The final thing is this. That the storms of life are inevitable, but they're not invincible, and neither do they have to be permanent. They don't have to be permanent. When the foolish man's house came crashing down, what happens? That was the end of the parable. But is it the end of the story for him? No, it wasn't. Not if we believe the rest of what Jesus taught in the Gospels. Not if we believe the rest of what Scripture says about overcoming a setback. And remember what I used to tell you about a setback. A setback can be a setup for what God wants to do. A setback can be a setup. If you want a good example of someone who's built his life on the sand, consider the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He ran away from home. He had an inheritance. And guess what? He wasted it. It was gone. Every penny of his inheritance. He went out into a world of wild living, and when his life came crashing down around him, he found himself literally in a pig pen. That's where he was. And what did he do? Was the hog trough the end for the prodigal son? No, it wasn't. Some of us have prodigal sons in our own family. Some of us know what it is to have someone that has left and gone and done their own thing. And we're praying for them to come back so that we can have a big party and rejoice. Was it the end for the prodigal son? No. The Bible says that when he came to his senses, this is what he says. And what a great celebration in Luke 15, verse 18. I will go back to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Here's the prodigal son coming to his senses. Here he is coming back home. And what happens? The father prepares a big party, a big feast, and there's great celebration. The father opens his arms wide for this young man to be rebuilt and to be restored. He was walking on sand. He was walking on quicksand. He was going down. But then he came to his senses and he started walking on the solid rock. He found a foundation, came to his senses. I want you to know that even when you bring the storm on yourself, and even if you purposely rebel against God and rebel against all the things that you have been taught as a child, and if you turn your back away from God, I want you to know that, and I certainly don't advise it because it's a miserable experience. Even when you bring the storm on yourself, and even when the house crashes down and your life falls around you, the good news is you can be restored. The good news is you can come back to your senses. Your life can be rebuilt and you can be made new again through the power, the blood of Christ. You see, God is in the business of transformation. God is in the business of restoration. God is in the business of planting your feet, of helping you to get your feet on the solid ground and to walk on that firm foundation each and every day. God says to all of us right here, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. You see, everything we build on sand is temporary. And it falls to the ground. But our God is a God of second chances. Our God is a God of restoration. The storm you face may be destructive, but it doesn't have to be permanent. That's the good news. That's the news that is so encouraging today. So storms are inevitable. Jose is coming up the coast. They're inevitable. And whether your life is built on the rock or upon the sand, you'll face those storms from time to time. Surviving the storm comes down to obedience. That's what it comes down to. That's what Jesus said. In verse 24 again, therefore, remember when that word is therefore, it's there for a purpose. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. You see, there's an old saying that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time to plant a tree is now. What that means is if you don't have your house built on the solid rock today, you can start today. We have a tendency after the fact to say, if only, if only. If only I would have done this. If only I would have said that. If only. Why didn't I? Why didn't I? Why didn't I? You see, we've got to get past these if onlys and start thinking about the what now. That's what's important. You see, the past can't be undone, but it can be redeemed. That's the good news. And a redeemed past leads you in the direction of a redesigned future. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the message that we have to proclaim to this community, to people all around us who are hurting, to people who need Jesus. God is in the business of transformation. And through this very simple parable of the rock, and the sand, God reminds us that we've got to repent of our sins and surrender our lives to the Lordship of Christ, that He clears the way of the storm debris, and He helps us to build up something new, something positive, something great. So the past can't be undone, but it can be redeemed, which means your future can be redesigned through the power of putting into practice the teachings of Jesus Christ each and every day and His Word. And to Him be the glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for this parable. Lord, I just pray that every single one of us here would desire to build our lives on the solid rock. We know that everything else is sinking sand. We ask, Lord, that You would give us Your strength, Your power. Fill us with Your Spirit, that we may be bold until that day when we see Jesus face to face. So this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.